parenting on Moncrief, thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, providing 24-hour support for foster parents and children. FiveRiversFostering.ie.
1894 53106 is our low call number. Our text number is 53106. It will cost you 30 cent. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. It is time for our parenting slot once again. We're delighted to welcome back David Carey. David, good afternoon.
Hello, Sean.
Here is your first question. I'm having a lot of trouble with my nearly 10-year-old daughter, who desperately wants an iPod Touch for her birthday at the weekend. Myself and my husband discussed it and told her last night that we think she's too young to have her own device. We have an iPad that she and her younger brother are allowed to use at the weekends. How can I explain to her that we're not being unfair, but want to wait until she's older before she has her own device? Not many girls in her class have one yet. Her good friend got one at Christmas, and this is where it is coming from. I fear that if she got it, it would be just another thing to fight over, with me taking it off her and having to restrict its use. What should I do?
Well, you might at the beginning start to become a parent. That would be a very good thing to do. I see no reason why a 10-year-old and a younger sib should be having iPads or any smart kind of devices on the weekends under any circumstances. Number two, learn to say no. You don't have to explain anything to a 10-year-old. You're the parents. Take charge. Do the right thing. Say no, mean it, and don't listen to the endless whinging, moaning, and request for explanations that you're inevitably going to get. Mm. Her job is to wear you down and to get you to back down and give in. Your job is to be a parent and learn the power of the simplest word in the parental vocabulary. No, you may not. Well, the simplest word, of course, is no, and then you can follow it up with, you may not. That's our decision. We're not open to discussing it. I have a very conservative view on this tablet matter and smartphone matter.
No, it's an iPod Touch, which is music, essentially.
She doesn't need it. No child under the age of 10 needs any kind of technology device.
Yeah.
Just not needed. They should be out playing. They should be doing robust and physical things in the back garden. They should be using puzzles and things that expand their mind, not things that deteriorate it over time, such as being on a screen. That's my conservative view.
Yeah.
Some may disagree, but I'm going to hold it no matter what. No child under the age of 10.
Okay, so she says, can I have an iPod Touch for me birthday? Mammy and Daddy say no. When she says why?
You don't have to answer.
You don't answer. Do you say, because I said so?
Yeah,
that's what my parents used to say.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Why do we engage in these endless debates with children these days? They play us like we were barristers, you know? They're the barrister.
Yeah.
And they're getting our heads spun around. I'm sorry, I'm maybe a bit old-fashioned. Maybe I'm completely out of sync with what's going on in the modern world. I am not one of those psychologists who believes that sitting down with young children and explaining everything is necessary.
Yeah.
I think it's very important for parents to do their job, take charge, set limits and boundaries, and live by them. Children respect that, and they respond to it. The more you capitulate, the more you give in, the weaker you become in their eyes. And therefore, the more anxious and unsettled they become.
Yeah.
Because they want limits and they want boundaries. And why on earth a 10-year-old is being given a tablet on the weekend to engage with and her younger brother, age unknown, is beyond me.
Yeah. When I was younger, it was, can I have that? No. Why not? Because I said so. That's not fair. Get out of my sight or I'll show you unfair.
Well, I wouldn't go with the last part necessarily, but I don't think there's anything wrong with the first part. Some of the time.
Yeah.
There are occasions when we want to explain things to children, but not when it involves outrageous requests for gifts, for example. I'll give you a personal example. Having been back with my daughters and grandchildren, one of the grandchildren asked for an iMac Plus or something.
Wow. I don't know. Okay, that's like a full size.
This is a 10-year-old that asked for it.
And like, that's a couple of grand.
And mother and father simply said no. She also asked for a trampoline. Parents said no. They didn't engage in endless conversation about it. When Christmas time came and I was there, she opened all her presents. Neither of these things were mentioned by her at all. There was no disappointment. There was just happiness with the presents she did receive, all of which were age appropriate and financially manageable by the parents.
My husband had a daughter with his girlfriend while they were both in college 32 years ago. The child was given up for adoption. The biological mother tried to make contact with the daughter around 13 years ago when she was gravely ill, but the girl didn't want to have contact. She did write a letter talking about her life and how happy she'd been with her adoptive family. Luckily, the biological mother made a full recovery. She's in contact sometimes with my husband and is still desperate to see the girl, but hasn't made any further contact with her. We have a son who's 14, and I think it might be time we told him about his half-sister. I'm wondering if it's a good idea, as she doesn't seem interested in her biological parents. I know he will want to reach out, and it will bother him greatly if he doesn't. We have some contact information for her, but I don't know if we should tell him this. Do you have any advice? I feel like if we wait much longer, it'll be hard to justify keeping this secret for so long.
Yeah, family secrets, generally speaking, aren't good things. They fester. And blow up to become boils eventually. You should tell him. He's 14. But you should not give him contact information. You should just simply explain to him exactly what happened, the circumstances about the recent contact, the fact that the daughter doesn't really wish to have contact right now, that when he's older, that means age 18, if he still wants to try to make contact with him, you will attempt to communicate with the daughter if she wants it, and also give him her contact information so he can reach out to her. Ultimately, it will be the daughter's option whether she wishes to have contact with this family. He's a stepbrother, but she doesn't know him at all. So he's an utter and complete stranger to her.
Yeah.
We cannot expect these Oprah Winfrey-like reunions after 30 years or more of absence. I have personal experience with this. It doesn't work out always like Oprah, who's going to be our next president now, by the way, of course. You know.
Yeah, so I heard.
Yeah.
Does everybody get a car when she becomes president? That would be great.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know people who've had similar things where they've gone to meet a parent that they never knew and then were surprised. I suppose as you would be, because you'd have some sort of expectation, but that just turned up and went, I didn't feel anything. It was just like some geezer.
Exactly.
You know?
And even in worst case scenarios, I know several people who have done the same thing, gone to meet a parent who gave them up for adoption many years ago, only to discover that the parent whom they had fantasized about as being Snow White combined with Cinderella was dysfunctional, perhaps alcoholic, not living a good and healthy life, and wanted nothing to do with them. And that's crushing. So we need to be very careful about this. I think the 14-year-old boy has an entitlement to know that he has a stepsister out there, however. Yeah. But he's too young to be given contact information because his brain isn't really going to know how to modulate it and reason with it and do the right thing. Ultimately, when he's older, you can, if you wish, give him the information and say, son, if you want to contact your sister, go ahead. So far, we have no reason to believe it's going to be successful because she's made no contact with us, despite so many years ago having been given the opportunity.
Yeah. So when
tell the truth.
Yeah, so if they tell the son now, they should tell him, add that piece of key information as well, that even if in some future point you want to contact her, she may have no interest
in this.
I think
that's important.
Yeah.
Because I know so many people that don't find out until they're in their 30s or 40s that there's a step-sibling out there that was given up for adoption. And it throws them for a loop. So, and that's why I said these things about, you know, family secrets generally aren't healthy things.
Yeah.
There's nothing to be ashamed of here. You've done everything right.
No, yeah.
Now, it's up to the girl that was given up for adoption to decide whether she wants to make contact or not.
Yeah.
That's a choice.
Yeah.
And it should be respected either way.
Yeah.
So tell the boy.
Yeah. My 16-year-old daughter has huge anxiety walking outside alone. She talks about abductions and kidnappings and seems convinced this will happen to her. She will walk home from school periodically but hates walking in the dark. How can I help her overcome her anxiety when walking by herself?
I doubt you can help her yourself. This is an anxiety difficulty. You respond very well to treatment. We've gone through this so many times. Contact your GP, get a referral to a CBT therapist. There are many, many fine people out there. 4 to 10 visits usually solves the problem. Mm-hmm. Don't let it go, because it will get worse. And it eventually is going to interfere with her lifestyle. Because she's 16, a lot of her friends are going out in the evening time. It gets dark very early now this time of year.
Is it? Yeah.
So she's likely to be housebound or dependent on you for transport to places which she could easily walk because of fear of the darkness. So let's get some help for her, and I think you'll find a very successful outcome fairly quickly.
Yeah. My 5-year-old son flat out refuses to eat or try any new foods. He's living on chicken nuggets and potato waffles. He also won't eat if we change the brand of nuggets. As a younger child, he wouldn't eat anything either. I'm reaching my limit. Have you any ideas?
Well, calm down, number one thing. You shouldn't be reaching your limit over this. Here again, the usual guidelines prevail. Is he looking healthy? Does he have enough energy? What does teacher have to say about his learning profile, attention and concentration? He's 5 years old. We can reasonably expect him to have an attention span of about 10 minutes. It's 2 years per year of age.
Okay.
Reasonable expectation. How is he doing his homework, if he's getting any? Does he play well with other youngsters? Is he vigorous? Does he sleep well? Does he look healthy? What's your GP saying about this? You should run it by the GP. Usually supplements aren't necessary. GP may want to investigate a little and find out if they are. There's not a lot you can do. Forcing them to try to eat the things they don't want is very unsuccessful. I would suggest having some healthy options available on the dinner table and the breakfast table, an apple cut up into bite-sized 5-year-old pieces, a banana done the same. Make some funny designs with pieces of fruit, smiley faces, frowny faces, dinosaur. You can easily do that with bananas and apples and grapes and things, and see if he'll buy into that to a certain extent. Time will tell. The world is filled with a lot of children who were very, very finicky eaters and grow to be healthy adults who also are finicky eaters.
Yeah.
I know someone who's well into adulthood who absolutely refuses to eat anything green.
Anything green?
Anything. Salads, vegetables, anything green, forget it. Won't eat.
Yeah.
Now, yet this person is vivacious, alive, wonderful sense of humor, full of energy, a delightful person to be with. Is it doing her any harm? Well, who am I to say? I'm not a medical practitioner, but it doesn't look like it to me.
I often have a suspicion as well that the more you... Now, I find this as well with the babby, who's 2 today, and she can smell it. She can smell your good intentions if you approach her with any food that is even remotely good for her. She'll go, I know what you're up to. But if you just like leave it there and not make a big deal out of it, and she kind of have, you know, she'll have a look at, and she might, like, we gave her chili the other day, and much to our surprise, she really likes kidney beans. She wouldn't eat the chili, but she picked every kidney bean, which was great, which is what we wanted her to do.
She
picked every kidney bean out of the chili, and we'll just give her a bowl of kidney beans the next time. But there's almost a kind of a, like, you know, if you go, I know, would you like this? Here comes the airplane, all that rubbish. They you know, they kind of smell that, so they go, yeah, you want me to eat this, so I'm not going to eat it.
You did
it's
it
reverse
just,
psychology.
You did it just the right way. I mean, have it available. And if you need to, if it's something you really want them to experiment with, then dress it up, make it a little funny, you know, do the face thing or whatever you want, and leave it. Don't mention it. No need to talk about it. This is good for you. This is healthy food. That's wasteful of everyone's time.
Yeah.
Have it there. See what happens. And by the way, if you're going to do that for the youngster, you have also available for the other members of the family, including the adults, a bowl of cut-up apples or a cut-up banana or whatnot, and they pick at it too. No comments.
Yeah.
No, this is delicious, you know. Yeah. None of that stuff.
Yeah, but the teenagers won't eat apples. They're beyond helping at this stage of the game.
Absolutely.
It's too late for them.
Too late.
We're just concentrating on the baby. Right, we've more questions for David after this. 53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cent. David Carey still with us. A few comments in relation to some of the questions we have already. We had one question from someone saying the young fellow would only eat chicken nuggets. Now, the reason the kid is eating nuggets is because you are feeding him nuggets. They put this in capital letters. If there is nothing else available to the kids but what you give them, you will find if they are hungry, they will eat it. Says his texter. Someone else says, I don't eat veggies or most fruit, or I didn't eat veggies or most fruit till I was 19. I now run food retreats and have a food blog. I eat everything now, and food is my passion and my job. Oh, interesting. Yeah. We also got a question about a 10-year-old who wanted an iPod. Children's lives today are so different from back in our day. An iPod age 10, in my opinion, a perfect request. Most kids want phones and even iPhones at that. An iPod is just music, which is like having a tape recorder. Back in our day, there was a few people have pointed out you can't phone or call, or you can't phone or text someone with an iPod, but it is Wi-Fi enabled, so you know we can do many of the things that a phone can do. Fiona says, my 4-year-old son is fussy too, only wanting to eat carrots, sausages and potatoes. Eating carrots great. I found hiding healthy stuff in treats successful. Adding grated beetroot to chocolate brownies, adding wheatgrass to chocolate chip cookies, adding cut up fruit with dinner works well too, because when he sits down to dinner with us, he doesn't feel like there's nothing in front of him to eat. Good luck, says Fiona. Well, of course, and you know, anything like spaghetti bolognese, you can cut up all sorts of vegetables and
anything in that, yeah.
Right. This is an interesting one. My son, who is 7, has been on YouTube and looking up fat pregnant girls and girls with big boobs lots of times. He has no older brothers and my husband or I never go on YouTube. And since all of this started, I've since removed the app from my tablet. I gently asked him one night when he was relaxed about it, but he got upset and did not want to talk about it. How do I approach this? Please help, says an anxious mom.
I am.
Okay, let's get past the why are you letting a 7-year-old on your tablet.
Okay, yeah. Well, you asked the question, and then therefore I'm done. Look, I don't think you need a lot of discussion about this. I think you need to restrict access, as you have. Why is he doing this? Probably, I don't know, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised if someone in school hadn't mentioned boobies or some such of a thing or something about pregnancy and big tummies and whatnot, and he got curious. And when he had access to the iPod or iPad or whatever it was, he started to look it up. And now, that's a sign of inquisitiveness. That's a sign of initiative. There are positives here.
Yeah.
So long as all he saw was some big boobs and a pregnant woman, probably no lasting harm done.
Yeah.
It would be important to carefully look through the history, if you still have it, to see if he didn't accidentally land on something that would be grossly inappropriate, because those kind of search terms can lead you anywhere.
Yeah.
So maybe check on that. He doesn't want to talk to you about it. This brings us to a point I've mentioned before. We should gently follow our children, not try to lead them. He doesn't want to talk about it. Okay. Then you very simply say, honey, if you have questions or you ever want to talk about it, mommy and daddy are here to listen and to answer you as best we can. Mm-hmm. And leave it at that. A nice hug and a kiss. Let's try our best not to make him feel guilty for doing something that we as adults think is inappropriate. I don't think you need to ask a lot of questions anymore about this. But if you leave it open, he will come to you if he has other questions or concerns.
Yeah.
I'd want to check the history, though, if you can, to find out exactly what kind of – maybe Google it yourself, in fact.
Yeah. But it's just he's just being inquisitive, as you would be at that age.
Really. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Nothing horrible about this.
I can't stop my 2-year-old from picking their nose and eating it. It's disgusting. Please help.
God, it is disgusting, isn't it?
It is disgusting, but 2-year-olds do that.
2-year-olds do that.
They get right up there.
I think you just need to say when you see it, no.
Yeah.
And then clean their little hand and keep doing that again and again. Usually a sharp no, without scaring the child half to death, will teach them that this is not a good thing to do. At age 2, you can't give a pious lecture about the health implications, yeah, or it's naughty and it's not pleasant, etc. You really need to stop it.
Yeah.
So be aware of when it's happening as best you can. It's something some two-year-olds do.
Yeah.
I mean, what can we do?
Yeah.
No is the best answer.
Yeah. Two-year-olds, though, generally, I mean, they're adorable, but they are also generally disgusting. A lot of the stuff they do is disgusting.
Yes. As it should be at that age.
I'm sorry, but, you know, that's the dealio at that age, I'm afraid. My six-year-old is suffering from insomnia. He lies awake all night long and just can't get off. We've tried everything we can think of, and now it's causing great stress for all the family.
Yeah, this is something that can be dealt with and must be dealt with through your GP, I think. Six-year-olds with that level of insomnia, lying awake all night long, will eventually become unhealthy. Mm-hmm. They will not have enough energy or cognitive resources to tackle school appropriately. I think you should talk to your GP. There are some off-label medications that can be prescribed to help children sleep.
Yeah.
And it's not uncommon for them to be prescribed. Please contact GP. Let him look at the boy and see if he's generally healthy and fit. And you keep monitoring his activity. There's not a lot you can do. Make sure the room is ventilated.
Mm.
Make sure that it's not too warm nor too cold. Does he need a nightlight on in the hallway and door open? I don't know. There's a lot of unknowns here. You have to kind of experiment and explore a little bit. You might ask him, although he may not be able to articulate, what are you thinking about when you're lying in bed all night?
Yeah.
It could be he has excessive ruminations and worries about something that's disturbing him. In that case, he needs some anxiety interventions.
The poor little fella. You wouldn't have thought a six-year-old
is suffering from insomnia. As any of us know as adults, if you have it, even for a short term,
yeah,
it is horrible.
Yeah.
Because you're so depleted the next day. You're out of sorts. You can be irritable. And I'm wondering if this is part of this little boy's profile now.
Mm.
Is he more irritable and cranky than he used to be? How's he doing in school? Is he fatigued and tired during the day? What are you doing at night? Is there an hour calming period before bedtime? Are you trying to put him to bed too early? Because we all have our own body clock. And at age six, well, we usually put them in bed around seven-ish, I guess.
Mm.
You know, so for some of them, that's just too early. Their brain and body isn't ready yet.
Mm.
So you may want to bring it up to eight. Little experimentation, but I do think a chat with GP is really appropriate here.
Just going back to the little fella who'll only eat the chicken nuggets, someone suggests put three foods on a plate, two they've already had before and one that they haven't tried. Blindfold the child and play a guessing game. Can you guess what the food is? No mention of it being about food beforehand, and pick a food similar in texture to what they will eat, or something sweet like grapes or peeled apple. We play this game once a week and gradually expanded foods being eaten to about 10. That's an interesting idea.
That's a great idea.
Moya says, I told my mother I didn't like something she gave me to eat. She used to tell me, cultivate a taste for it. Ooh. Sounds like a posh family. And many, many people texting in relation to the little fella who looked up pictures of big boobs on YouTube, that everyone's blaming the husband. I'd say that's not the young fella at all.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go. There's your parenting problem solved and your marriage destroyed. David, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
David Carey there. We're going to take a break after that. The Cartoon County.
Cartoon County.
Parenting on Moncrief, thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, providing 24-hour support for foster parents and children. Fiverriversfostering.ie.